In this episode, I'm going to tell you about another North Carolina University, UNC Greensboro. Welcome to the NC Everything Podcast. I'm your host, Curtis, and this is the bi-weekly show where I talk about everything that has anything to do with North Carolina. As always, thank you for listening. I have a really busy day today because I'm getting ready to head for the hills again. I'm going to the Fire on the Mountain 2024 Festival. It's a blacksmith festival in Spruce Pine, and I've never been. I'm pretty excited about it. Last year, maybe a little over a year ago, my son and I, we made an agreement. I'm a welder, and he wanted to get into blacksmithing, so he wanted me to make him a forge. And I agreed that if he let me teach him how to weld, I'd build him a forge. And so I did build him a forge, but he still hasn't let me teach him how to weld yet. But me and him, we did build a makeshift forge, or we built one. We scrapped together a forgeable table, you know, and we really got to messing around. We found an old Harbor Freight anvil and had a lot of fun doing it. But my son, he really likes, he's into blade smithing. He wants to grab a big chunk of steel and hammer it out. And I'm more interested in the scroll work, you know, and the stuff like that. So, but anyway, we're going to go up here to that Fire on the Mountain Festival, and hopefully it'll be pretty cool. Keep an eye on the Facebook page because I'm probably going to post some pictures and stuff. And speaking of the Facebook page, if you're looking for the Facebook group, check the links below, and there is a link for the Facebook group. Also down there's a link to the YouTube channel, unless you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening, check the YouTube channel out. And if you're watching and you rather just listen, I can be found on most podcast players. But back to the links, there's also a link in the description for Tasting NC, a show I do with my wife where we taste everything that has anything to do with North Carolina. And last but not least, there's my email address is down there, which is the nceverythingpodcast@gmail.com. But if you can't remember that, it's in the description. So you can write in, say hello, or suggest an episode. With that being said, let's get into UNC Greensboro. This episode was suggested by my wife, Jamie, because if you're listening to this show on the Saturday that it comes out, well, next weekend she graduates from UNCG. So, sorry for the pause. I'm probably not going to do much editing with this. UNC Greensboro really started with a guy named Charles McIver. He's from Lee County. He started going to UNC Chapel Hill in 1877. He graduated in 1881, and he became the headmaster of a small school in Durham. And yes, I have my laptop, and I have paper here if you're watching on YouTube. I got some stuff on the laptop. Eventually, he starts a public school in another location in Durham. And there, he was a teacher, principal, and superintendent from 1882 to 1884. Then he goes to be a principal in Winston. And while he was in Winston, he started a normal course. And I've said this several times in other episodes. If I talk about, and I'm going to talk about a normal school and normal courses, I'm not sure why it's called normal, but a normal school is a school for teachers. They're teaching teachers how to teach, I guess. So he starts this normal class in Winston. And then in 1886, he was elected vice president of the North Carolina Teachers Assembly. And this is where the idea for Duke University, or UNCG, sorry. This is where the idea really sparked. Because he was a big advocate of educating women. See, the thing is, during all this time in history, women, they were afterthought. You wanted to educate your men and build your men up. But he had an idea. If you could educate women who typically stay at home, you'll inadvertently educate children because women are with the children. And so by educating the women, you're educating the children, and you'll ultimately lower the illiteracy rate in North Carolina. You're helping the whole state by doing this. So he really started pushing for a better education for women. In 1886, he accepted a position as the head of the literacy department at Peace Institute in Raleigh. Eventually, he became the chairman of a committee, and he introduced a bill to the General Assembly that provided for a teacher training school. And that bill didn't pass. Not everybody was on board yet. So from here, he kind of took a step back, and he went to teach at a normal school in Yadkin County. Then there's another guy, and I don't have as much to say about him. His name was Edwin Alderman. He was born in Wilmington, and he graduated from UNC as well. He became a school teacher in Goldsboro, a superintendent of the Goldsboro school system. That was 1885 to 1889. And eventually, he was the conductor of the state teachers' institutes from 89 to 1892. So now we're in, let's go to 1891. MacGyver and Alderman, they kind of joined forces. That's why I wanted to give some background on them. They joined forces, and they eventually convinced the North Carolina legislature to establish a normal school. And so in February of 1891, the North Carolina State Normal and Industrial School was chartered with only $10,000. Now they had to figure out where to put it. And a bunch of different towns kind of bid for a location for this normal school, but Greensboro won out. And the reason they won out is they pledged $30,000 to the cause. So now they're looking at about $40,000. And also, they were looking for somewhere in the middle of the state anyway. They really weren't looking up in the mountains or down east. So Greensboro was a real ideal spot for this normal school. They wanted everybody in the state to try to have access to it. Now, the initial site that they found in 1891 was just a small 10 acres. And it was on the western edge of what Greensboro was at that time. And it was donated to the school by a guy named Richard Pullen and R.T. Gray, two guys. Eventually, the campus would grow up to be over 200 acres. It opened on October 5th, 1892, and the whole student body was 198 plus a faculty of 15. And there were three types of classes when it opened: commercial, domestic science, and pedagogy. You can pronounce it how you want, but that was the pedagogy was the class and teaching. 5 years after it opened in 1897, the school became a college. Now, by the turn of the century, around 1900, the school's been open up 8 years or so, and it really started drawing a whole lot of attention. And with this attention, people wanted to invest money in the school. Two notable investors was Andrew Carnegie and George Foster Peabody, and they donated a ton of money to the school. So with this new money that came in, the school got its first library. And then there was a fire. Like in a lot of my historic episodes, there's always a fire that burns something. On January 20th, 1904, the main dorm on campus, and it was known as just Brick Dormitory, which isn't very creative, but Brick Dormitory caught fire and burned to the ground. 300 students got out. Nobody was harmed. However, classes were suspended for 3 weeks. They had to, and luckily they had that extra money because they had to build new living facilities for the students. In 1919, the normal school was renamed the North Carolina College for Women. And I think I skipped over this at the beginning, but the school itself was women only. There was no men here at all. And I remember hearing a few times over the years that UNCG started out as a girls-only school. In 1920 is when they built a lot of what they call the landmarks today. Now, I don't know a lot about UNCG. I've only been up there one time. But the landmarks that they refer to here are quad dormitories, Acock Auditorium, the Brown Building, and the Rosenthal Gymnasium. The college awarded its first master's degree in 1922. And then the Curry Building was lost to a fire. Now, I said it was a women's-only school, but during the Depression, when money was tight, they did allow men to go there just to kind of make up for some of that loss. In 1931-32 school year, the school joined the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and NC State in Raleigh as part of the UNC Consolidated University System. I think there are 16 schools in that system now. And when it joined the consolidated UNC system, it became the Women's College of the University of North Carolina. In 1942, they celebrated their 50th anniversary and founded the Weatherspoon Art Gallery, Arts Forum, and Social Science Forum. Eventually, the Depression wrapped up, and so they built a whole bunch more dormitories and classrooms. And with all this new construction, in 1949, it became the largest college for women in the U.S. In 1956, something monumental happened. They accepted Joanne Smart and Betty Ann Davis Tillman as the first African-American students in the college. And during the 60s is when they changed the name to the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, or UNCG. It granted its first doctorate degree in 1963. In the 80s, enrollment crossed over 10,000. So I don't remember what it was now when it first opened up, but it opened with, 200 and some students. In the 1980s, it had 10,000. And it was in the 80s when they got some new buildings. The Bryan School of Business, the Economics Building, the Ferguson Building, the Cone Building, and the School of Health and Human Performance Complex. And again, if you know anything about UNCG, you may know these buildings well. I don't. I'm living in Chapel Hill, so I know UNC Chapel Hill a whole lot better. The school turned 100 in 1992. And by the early 2000s, the school had more than 13,000 students. Now, jumping to modern times, today the university offers master's degrees in 68 fields and doctorates in 14 fields. Its arts program is known worldwide. And that Weatherspoon Art Museum that I mentioned, they say the art in there is the most outstanding permanent collection of contemporary art in the Southeast. And that's all I really could find on UNCG. I know that was a short episode, and I did rush it a little bit because I still have a whole lot to do before I head up to Spruce Pine. But I hope you enjoyed the episode. I need to pepper in some short ones every once in a while. And like I said, I guess in 6 days from now, my wife will be graduating from UNCG. I'm pretty excited about that. I'm pretty happy for her. She's really worked hard to go back to school. A lot of you don't know, but during the pandemic, she was a non-essential worker, so she spent a lot of time at home. And about the time she said, well, if I'm going to spend all this time at home, I'm going to start taking online classes, And about the time she really got enrolled in online classes at UNC, well, she transferred into UNCG. But about the time she started online classes, work resumed. So she's been pretty busy. I'm sure she's glad to see it over. But anyway, if you liked that episode, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you got an idea for an episode, reach out to me at thenceverythingpodcast@gmail.com. And by the time you're listening to this episode, I'll probably be at the Blacksmith Festival. So check out the Facebook group for pictures from up there at Spruce Pine. And if you're at Spruce Pine, you happen to be up there, you want to say hello, I'll be walking around there somewhere. I heard they could have as many as 10,000 people, so I don't know how easy I will be to find, but I think we'll have a pretty good time up there. But that's all I got, so I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.